We here are all such innovative people. So I am telling you, if you want to change the world, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to build the Iron Man suit, you're at Georgia Tech. You can do that. If you want to play theme music during your convocation speech like a badass, we're at Georgia Tech. We can do that. I am doing that.
And I am doing this. Now, what is this, you might ask? Well, this is the podcast known as What's the Good Word. I am your host, Joshua Julian, bringing you your one-stop shop podcast for anything and everything related to Atlanta sports, Falcons, Braves, Hawks, Georgia Tech as well, because they're in downtown Atlanta, not like those puppies over in Athens. But today is a great day, because today we're going to be talking about the Atlanta Braves. There's time to talk about baseball now, because the season has started. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the best 6-7 months of every year is now here. Baseball season has opened, and the Atlanta Braves are doing their thing. They're picking up right where they left off so far, and we've got a couple games to cover and talk about it, because the Braves started off in the Evil Empire area of Philadelphia, had to start the season on the road, 6-game road trip, first three in the cold confines of Philadelphia, and it was, to say the least, a successful trip. Now, I'm sure you've been watching. I'm sure you've seen it. I'm not going to dive too deep into the numbers, but first game for the Braves, after getting delayed on Tuesday, the Braves had to move their game to Friday, and they played, and they won 9-3, and it was beautiful to watch. So they did start off down 2-0 in the fifth inning. The Phillies did take the first lead of the season, but you had the Braves score 2 in the 7th and then 7 runs in the 8th inning. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5. 7 runs. And Michael Harris started off the season on an absolute heater, going 3-for-5, bringing in a run as well. And on top of that, I mean, most everybody, you know, Michael Harris 3-for-5, Matt Olson 3-for-5 with 3 RBIs. And 3 doubles on the day. Orlando Arcia also got 3 doubles in his 3-for-5 day. Adam Duvall and Jared Kelnick both went 1-for-2 pinch hitting. Duvall had a 2 RBI double, part of that 8th inning, coming in to face Matt Strom, kind of platooning out there. Starting wise, Spencer Strider, 5 innings, did give up 2 runs, but also had 8 Ks. I don't want to say it was a typical start for Spencer Strider, because he's had better games than that, but I mean, you know, his pitch count did go up. He did have a bit of a first inning where he threw a lot of pitches, but he was able to get through, give a quality start. The bullpen was locked down. I mean, Joe Jimenez, Pierce Johnson, and AJ Minter all went an inning, one hit between the three of them. Now, Aaron Bummer did give up a run in his inning. He covered the 9th inning himself, and it was a single from Nick Castellanos, so he did walk a guy. So it is what it is, but he also had 2 strikeouts. So plenty of positives to take away from this game. Everybody clicking on all cylinders. Acuna even had a stolen base. And then it was even better in the next game, because the Braves took that one 12-4, and it was just an onslaught from the beginning. The Braves started off with 2 in the first, and after the Phillies matched and scored 3 of their own, the Braves went 3 in the second, 2 in the third, 4 runs in the 6th, and then 1 to top it off at the top of the 9th inning. Again, the offense hitting on all cylinders. You had 5 players with 3 hit games. Ronald Acuna at the top of the order had 3 hits with 2 runs to add on to that. You had 3 hits from Ozzy Albies, 3 RBIs, 2 runs, a home run in the first inning after Acuna got on base himself to give the Braves that 2-0 lead. 3-for-4 day from Michael Harris with 3 runs and a double and an RBI and a walk. 3-for-4 day from Orlando Arcia. Arcia got another double in this game. Michael Harris also hit a home run, for the record, by the way, on top of Matt Olson and Marcelo Ozuna hitting ones as well. And then you had a 3-for-4 day from Jared Kelnick at the bottom of the order with 2 RBIs. He was staying with everything. He punched one through. I distinctly remember the one. He punched it right through the infield. It was a foot away from the shortstop and a foot away from the second baseman. It was perfect. Even Travis d'Arnaud, 1-for-5, 2 RBIs. He came in. Sean Murphy did leave the first game with an oblique injury. He is on the IL. Hopefully he'll be back, but the Braves called up Chadwick Tromp for that. We'll talk about that in the next game. But starting wise, Max Fried did. He only lasted 2/3 of an inning with that 3-run first inning. It bears mentioning that he would have gotten out of that inning unscathed if not for a horrendous missed third strike where the pitch was like well within the zone. I mean, like a ball length away from any kind of corner or any kind of edge of the zone. It was ridiculous that it was called a ball, and that led to a walk, which then led to a 2-run single. So Max did not last in the game, but the bullpen really picked it up for him. Jesse Chavez continued to defy logic and reason, going 3 strong innings, only giving up 1 run with 2 hits, and then the rest of the bullpen, no runs allowed the rest of the game. Tyler Matzek, an inning and a third, Pierce Johnson, Dylan Lee covered 2 innings himself, and then Raisel Iglesias just got some work in because he needs to make sure that he's warm. So the offense, again, I mean, just back-to-back fantastic days. They did kind of, it's not that they no-showed. They lost 5-4 in the to cap the series, so they did not sweep the Phillies. But they all started off with a two-run first inning again. Acuña drew a walk, got on base, and then Ozzie Albies hit another home run because that seems to be like the norm of what they do now. And unfortunately, the Braves, after going, they gave up a home run to Kyle Schwarber in the first inning from off Chris Sale, and then the Braves added 1 in the fourth. The Phillies got 1 in the fifth, 3 in the seventh, and then the Braves were not able to make the comeback bid, even though they made it closer in the eighth with 1 run of their own. Multi-hit days from Ozzie Albies with 3 RBIs, a multi-hit day from Austin Riley, Matt Olson, his first real bad game, 3 strikeouts on an 0-for-4 day. Jared Kelnick did come in as a pinch hitter, and he got a hit. He has been something, that is for sure. We'll talk about the stats at the end here. Chris Sale, the 5 1/3, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks, 2 earned runs. He wasn't the story. It was Aaron Bummer, gave up 4 hits, 2 earned runs. He did think he was out of the inning. They got a double play, but the Phillies appealed. They overturned the call at first, so the Braves had to come back out on the field, and then Aaron Bummer just kind of gave up hit after hit after hit after that. But, you know, so far, the numbers don't look great for him, but it looks like he's had bad luck. I believe his fielding independent pitching is like a 2.36, even though his ERA is a 13.5. So it'll ideally even all out. But and so then the last game we're going to talk about is the game that happened. I'm recording this on Tuesday, so we're going to talk about Monday's game against the White Sox. Now, once this episode is posted, you will probably have the results of the Tuesday game. If they play it, it looks like the weather is bad, so we'll see. But the Braves took home the win 9-0. Don't want to go too deep in, but, I mean, everybody in the lineup got a hit from Ronald Acuña going 1-for-4 at the top of the order. Ozzie and Austin Riley both going 2-for-4 at the bottom, Jared Kelnick 1-for-4, Travis d'Arnaud 1-for-3, Orlando Arcia 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs. You got a home run from Austin Riley after a rain delay. You had doubles from Acuña, Albies, Harris, Arcia, d'Arnaud. Arcia's up to 4 doubles on the year. And pitching-wise, 3 hits total from the team. Charlie Morton, 5 2/3, strong, 6 Ks. Dylan Lee and Tyler Matzek covered the rest. The game was ended after 8 innings because of the rain. They kept having to kind of come in and out. And they decided, you know what, we're just going to call it. There's really no point. We'll just call it. And so Braves did what they had to do. 2 of the 3 hits did go to Yoan Moncada, but Chris Flexen was their starter. He got roughed up. The White Sox are not supposed to be very good, so this is a game the Braves are supposed to win. So the Braves currently sit at 3-1 to start the season. Ideally 4-1 once this episode is posted. You'll know more later, but we'll see, right? We'll see. And the team is looking exactly like we thought they would. You know, when you look at the stats for the team, you have 4 guys in the starting lineup who have OPSs over 1,000, and they're all hitting towards the bottom of the order. Other than Ozzie Albies, you have Michael Harris with a 1250, Jared Kelnick with a 1219, Orlando Arcia 1159, even Austin Riley and Matt Olson. Austin Riley's at 956, Olson's at 842. The only lineup regular that qualifies on this MLB webpage that isn't above 800 is Marcell Ozuna at 500. And Marcell Ozuna apparently is just a slow starter, so I'm not going to write him off until we get a little bit more of a sample size. But Jared Kelnick so far hitting 545, which, you know, bravo to him. It's been decent contact. He's not killing the ball. I don't think he has a home run just yet, but he's putting them where they ain't, which is the most important part of any of this, right? Hit it where they ain't. Hit it where they ain't. But yeah, looking up and down the lineup, the projected, lineup for most every day, the only guy struggling, Marcell Ozuna, even Travis d'Arnaud, he is only hitting .222 at this moment in time. And he gets a bit of a pass because he's kind of been pressed into duty, but he also has two doubles in those nine at bats. So his slugging percentage is quite high. The worst hitters in the lineup right now are Matt Olson hitting .263 and Austin Riley hitting .294. Everybody else is just up there and insane. Even Adam Duvall in his limited at bats so far, he's had six, he's hitting .333 himself. So the lineup is doing exactly what we thought they would. Starting wise, the ERAs, I'm not going to dive too deep into it. It's a one game sample size so far, but I mean, in the bullpen, there's only a couple guys that even have earned run averages. Aaron Bummer's had some bad luck. Jesse Chavez with his 3.0 ERA, I'm okay with it because he covered three innings after Max had to get forced out of the start. And then Joe Jimenez currently is at 5.4 and only an inning and two-thirds pitched. So that's only one earned run at this moment in time. So the Braves have had a about as well of a start to the season as you could hope. So the real question now is, what is this the team, right? I actually asked this on another app that I'm on. It's called Live Take. Will the Braves win 105 games this season or more? Will they top themselves from last year? And quite simply, when you have that conversation, I don't see why not, right? I don't. It does depend on good health. I mean, if you have guys like Sean Murphy going down pretty consistently, then yeah, it's going to be hard. Because there's only so much depth that the Braves have. I mean, the biggest question around the Atlanta Braves was, will they have the depth to cover any kind of injuries? Because your bench is, Forrest Wall and Luis Guillorme and Adam Duvall. So if, Ozzie Albies goes down, you're completely changing what you're getting out of second base, because Luis Guillorme is like the exact opposite of Ozzie Albies. He is only really contact with very little power in that package. But the Braves lineup, as long as they stay healthy, I don't see why they don't continue to mash. Currently they do have 3, 4, 5, 6 home runs on the year in four games. That's normal. It happened last year as well, right? I mean, there's not exactly the balls don't fly as well at the beginning of the season. Sorry, I was trying to find the right phrasing for that. The baseball does not fly as well in the colder weather. Once it gets hotter, once you get to June, that's when the balls really start flying. But again, even without the balls flying, the Braves are putting up incredible run numbers. They're hitting like crazy. There's so much contact going on this team. There's so much offensive upside, especially if Jared Kelnick is going to put it all together. He did struggle in spring training to the point where they feel like maybe we should bring Adam Duvall in, but currently 545, 583 on base percentage, 636 slugging percentage. I mean, he has been a very good, and he's been great defensively out in left field as well. He's made a couple diving catches. He's got a good arm. It's just such a well-rounded team. There's nothing to really pick at right now, and I'm trying to find other things we can talk about on this podcast, because the four games, I don't want to dissect them too deeply, but this team is looking incredible right now. There is no reason to me why the Braves cannot win at 105 games again, with good health. There is nothing to not, I mean, when you look at their OPS pluses even, right? I'm just looking for stats to talk about now because it's just so crazy in four games. The only person with a below average OPS is Marcell Ozuna. And everybody, there's multiple people with a 200 OPS. For those that don't know, OPS plus takes the league average OPS. And basically, if the OPS plus is how many percentage points over that you are. So if you have 100 OPS plus, it means your OPS is exactly league average. You are exactly a league average hitter by that statistic. When you're 115, you're 15% better than the average hitter. So we've got guys that are 106%, 139%, 129% better than the average major league hitter right now. And again, those numbers will not last. This is four games, small sample sizes galore. But I mean, most of these guys did this last year, so there's no reason to believe that it won't continue to carry over into this year. The big thing right now is that Sean Murphy is hurt. He's on the 10-day IL. But Chadwick Tromp has been called up. He is a solid professional. He will do nothing but decent things. He's a good defensive catcher. Chris Sale gave him praise after his start, saying, you know, Tromp was huge. He really helped kind of settle him down when he was in some trouble in the game. So great to have him in the organization. The other thing I guess we're going to talk about is that the Gwinnett Stripers started their season. We're going to track the AAA team at least because they are like 15 minutes down the road. I've got multiple family members that work there. I've worked for the Stripers myself, actually, believe it or not. I used to be a bat boy for them way back in the day. But they had a 3-game series over the weekend with Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, and they took the series 2-1. They lost the first game, lost their opener on Friday, but then Saturday and Sunday they won 4-1 and then 10-0. So a good start for the AAA affiliate, and this is one of those teams where the Stripers are, it's a lot of minor league free agents, for lack of a better term. Like JP Martinez, for example, is kind of the outfielder in waiting. If one of the outfielders goes down, I think the Braves will end up actually calling him up. That's why they sent him down, so he could get consistent at-bats and kind of stay in, you know, in season form. Forrest Wall is there as pinch runner. He can fill in here and there, but I think that they would go to JP Martinez before anybody else. But they've got JP Martinez. They've got Sky Bolt, who is another guy that I met. He came through last year with another team, so I got to meet him as well. They've got Eli White. They've got a couple, you know, Ryan Castile, who I thought was retired, Luke Williams, David Fletcher. It's very much a collection of 4A players, hilariously enough. But then pitching-wise is really where we're going to be tracking. So to get a good feel for how the pitching has gone so far for the team, in the first game on Friday, the Braves' opening day starter was Darius Vines in the first game of the season. He went five hits, three earned runs, two walks, and four strikeouts. Not exactly ideal, but, you know, Darius did have an interesting season last year. He was kind of in and out. He was hurt for a little bit. It wasn't a ton of information given, but a perfectly mediocre start there. The Saturday game, the 4-1 win, starting pitcher for Gwinnett, that's Jacksonville. First of all, offensively, you did have another 1-for-4 day from JP Martinez. He hit his second home run. He had 2 in 2 days. They faced former Striper and former Brave Yonny Chirinos from the Jumbo Shrimp, and the Braves' winning pitcher, Dylan Dodd. 5 innings, 3 hits, no earned runs, 5 walks, though, along with 7 strikeouts. But Dylan Dodd's kind of his profile as a prospect was the idea that he was control, right? He was a crafty lefty who could get throw strikes, wouldn't walk a ton of people. So hopefully he kind of fixes that. But Dysbel Hernandez went 1 inning and 2/3, did not give up anything other than strikeouts. He had 3 strikeouts in those 1 inning and 2/3. And Ken Giles came in and got the save, I guess. Yeah, he got the save. 1 inning, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. And then the final game, the 10-0 rout from the Gwinnett Stripers. You had 2 hits from JP Martinez, 2 hits from Eli White. Yeah, you had 3 hits from Andrew Velasquez. Pretty much everybody on the team except for, don't want to call him out, but Phillip Evans and Alejo Lopez did not get hits. Pitching-wise, Bryce Elder, 6 1/3 innings, only 2 hits, 7 strikeouts. Great to see that from him. I expect that if anybody does get hurt, Bryce will be the first call to fill in a rotation spot. If not him, maybe A.J. Smith-Shawver. Depends on what you're seeing out of A.J. But A.J. Smith-Shawver, Hurston Waldrop, I believe both on the roster. They will be getting starts here soon. And, you know, we'll keep track of this team just because it gives us something to talk about, especially with the amount of prospects that they have down there on the pitching ranks. But that's going to do it for today's episode. I was trying to keep it short. I don't want to talk your ear off. There's not much we can analyze, right? We'll start analyzing a little bit more later. But the other thing with baseball also is, you know, the season is incredibly long. There's only so much you can analyze without overanalyzing. And I don't really want to get too deep into that because it's a 162-game season. It is a marathon. It is not a sprint. There's only so much that we can really read into one single game. We will talk about, you know, trade potentials. I'll give you prospect reports, give you some prospects that are hot, prospects that are not, guys that are, you know, showing out, guys to keep an eye on. I'll keep you guys in the loop on that. But other than that, we'll just talk game. We'll talk about who's playing well at the major league level. And we'll just continue to marvel day in and day out at how fantastic this team is looking right now. But as I said, that's going to do it for today's episode. If you have a comment, if you want to leave a review, you can do that right underneath this podcast. Or if you want to email me personally and tell me how wrong I am or how I give Brian Snitker too much credit, I'm not hard enough on the players, or that I'm too hard on the players. Either way, you can email me at joshuajulian26@outlook.com. That is the easiest way to reach me. And if you are looking for other sports content, we do the Falcons, we do the Hawks, we do Georgia Tech here. If you're a fan of either of those teams, stay tuned. We release one episode per week for each team, covering everything we can that's happened in that week. Game results, trade rumors, free agent signings, mock drafts, prospect profiles, whatever strikes my fancy that week, whatever's in the news, we're going to talk about it. And since this podcast started as a Georgia Tech podcast, the name gives it away. There's only one question that we can ask at the end of any of these things. Georgia Tech fans know. We'll teach you guys if you want to know what it means or what the answer is, but I'll ask you the question and you can answer however you want, but Georgia Tech fans know the real answer. And that question is, what's the good word?